ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is the NT Country Hour on ABC Radio Darwin and the Northern Territory.
G'day there, my name's Matt Brand. Welcome to the Country Hour and a special shout out to communities along the Top End Coast. Over the next hour, I'll be keeping you company and keeping you up to date on Tropical Cyclone Fina. I'll also be keeping you up to date on the cricket. It is day one of the first Ashes test, and as we go to air this afternoon, England are in a bit of trouble. They're 2 for 33, and Mitchell Starc is on fire. He picked up a wicket in his first over. He's just got rid of Duckett. So Mitchell Starc's got figures of 2 for 10. England are 2 for 33. I'll keep you up to date throughout the afternoon. We are broadcasting on the ABC, and g'day to those who have tuned in via the podcast.
A cyclone warning is issued when an area could soon be affected by a cyclone, and it's time to finalise your plans. If you are going to self-evacuate, now is the time to do so with your emergency kit and supplies. If you are staying, you should now close and board up windows, identify the strongest part of the building, and take shelter. For advice on what to do during a cyclone, visit the ABC Emergency website. And for the latest updates, stay listening to your emergency broadcaster, ABC Radio.
Tropical Cyclone Fina is impacting the Coburg Peninsula as we go to air this afternoon. There is a warning zone in place for the Tiwi Islands, Dundee Beach to Warrawee on South Goulburn Island, and inland to Batchelor. So this includes Darwin, the Coburg Peninsula, Croker Island and Goombalunya, and also Perlengimpie, Millicarpety and Warramyunga. Fina is currently a Category 1 cyclone and is estimated to be 110 kilometres to the north-northeast of Minjalang on Croker Island and about 320 kilometres to the northeast of Darwin. This cyclone is moving slowly to the southwest and is expected to strengthen to a Category 2 system today. Fina is forecast to approach the Coburg Peninsula and Tiwi Islands tonight before continuing southwest through the Van Diemen Gulf tomorrow on Saturday. Now, there continues to remain a chance that this could reach Category 3 intensity. I'll be speaking to the Weather Bureau at 1:05 to get the latest information. And as always here on the Country Hour, if there's a question that you'd like to put to the Bureau, please do send it through on the text line this afternoon, which is 0487 99 1057. That number, 0487 99 1057.
Hi, my name's Jo. I'm from the Kilpinya Volunteer Fire Brigade, and you are listening to the Country Hour.
Peter Dummett is our first guest on the Country Hour this afternoon. He's the Chief Executive of the Darwin Port. Pete, how is everything going out at the port this afternoon as this cyclone approaches?
Look, Matt, as the cyclone approaches, everything is proceeding as per our cyclone plan. We started preparing for this as far back as Monday. We pushed the button very early in our cyclone preps because we've got an awful lot to do and an awful lot to plan for and consider. So the update I have, and I am interstate at the moment, been watching it from afar and obviously keeping touch, we're well progressed and heading towards a potential port closure later tonight as the cyclone gets closer.
Right. I'm just looking at the satellite data at the moment. So there's a couple of vessels at East Arm right now. Do they stay there or do boats get sent out?
Absolutely not, Matt. And that's some of the preparation we do. We look at the forward schedule on vessels that are coming in and make decisions on whether they can or they can't. Certainly there's a cruise ship that has cancelled its call, was due in tomorrow. That's now not going to come in. They're going to head to Dili instead. We clear the harbour of all ships. We move ships off the infrastructure so that vessels don't get damaged, the infrastructure doesn't get damaged, and obviously the crews are safe as well. So they take refuge elsewhere, head in the opposite direction of the storm, The vessels that are in at the moment, I'm aware of one that is tying up as we speak. That's a fuel tanker, and we bought that in on the basis that the advice we got was that we only had, we being Northern Territory, had about 4 or 5 days of diesel reserves. We made the decision to bring that in, tie that up. It will pump as much diesel off into the Vopak terminal as it can before we actually close the port. So the final vessel movement, if you like, will be that ship leaving the harbour, then we'll go down to closure of the port, which we're no final decision made yet, but we're anticipating that'll be about 9 p.m. tonight.
Understood. I see it. It's the Ardmore oil tanker. So it's getting as much diesel to the Northern Territory as possible, but then we'll head out so that the port can close down.
Exactly.
Yep. Understood.
So, So it wasn't due until, I think, Sunday from memory, but we contacted the agents and they were able to speed the ship up and get it in so that we can, as I said, get as much fuel off as we can and then get the vessel out of the port.
Meanwhile, there was a live cattle ship due in tomorrow to load up and take cattle to Indonesia, but I understand that's no longer happening.
Just deemed not safe to load tomorrow, Matt. So
fair enough.
And look, as I said, this is why we pushed the button early on preparations. We were talking to the exporters and the industry very early in the week, sort of outlining that the way things were shaping up. They need to make preps to consider that they probably won't load. And they're well aware of that, and that's the decision that's been made.
From what I can tell, the Ganado Express is now just sort of hanging out way off the coast up in the Timor Sea and due to come in maybe Wednesday next week if all goes to plan.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's generally how vessels operate. They go well out of harm's way and we'll wait for the storm to pass, and then preps will be made once we deem that it is we can reopen the harbour and it is safe to do so. Then we'll back to normal business. What I say, the preparations that we do pre-arrival are about protecting people and infrastructure, but also to enable us to push the start button again once the storm passes.
If we've learned anything from a cyclone that went over Groote Eylandt, is you don't want vessels up against your wharf when a cyclone hits.
Absolutely not. As I say in the business all the time, commercial pressures don't trump safety decisions, and that was a classic example of why we move vessels out of the harbour in anticipation of a cyclone. That was 20 months that wharf was out of action. So those are the potential implications.
I'm not across exactly what's out at the port at the moment, but say if you did have a stockpile of lithium concentrate or something, is there much you can do to stop that from blowing off into the distance?
Look, not a lot. I mean, we don't have anything there at the moment.
Right, That's
that's just the way the situation is. A bit of dread spoil from the ship lift project, which is sort of sitting in the stockpile area. That, in effect, is dirt. It's going to get wet. There's not much we can do about it, but not much we need to do about it either.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for keeping us up to date. Wishing your team all the best for this period ahead. But just before you go, Peter Dummett, is it true the Darwin Port has just won an award?
Yes, Matt. Thanks for bringing it up. I'm actually interstate for a couple of reasons. One was to attend the Shipping and Maritime Industry Awards in Sydney last night. It was a great night. It's the industry's version of the Logies, I like to say, but Darwin Port was named the Port of the Year for 2025.
It's pretty good.
it was an amazing night, an amazing announcement, and look, as I said in the acceptance speech, this is by the team and for the team. We've been working very hard in the last couple of years and getting absolutely amazing results, and to have that recognised on the national stage, I was a very proud man, I have to say.
Well done. And might try and touch base perhaps on Monday when everything passes by.
All right, Matt. And stay safe yourself. Stay safe, listeners. I look forward to talking to you next week. Cheers.
Peter Dummett is the Chief Executive of the Darwin Port across the Territory. You are tuned into the Country Hour. And I guess a shout out to the crew on board the Ardmore Seawolf this afternoon. So that's the tanker that's pulled up at East Arm Wharf and delivering diesel to the Northern Territory. What did Pete just say? Only 4 or 5 days left of diesel up here. So the Ardmore Seawolf has got an important job this afternoon and sounds like the port is on track to be officially closed later on this evening, maybe at around 9 p.m. This is the Country Hour, broadcasting this afternoon on ABC Radio. Up next, I'll be speaking to Dave Morrissey, who is the local general manager of Optus.
The December issue of Gardening Australia has tips on water-wise planting and adding fragrance to your garden, plus how to grow healthy houseplants and super sweet strawberries. Gardening Australia magazine from newsagents and abcmagazines.com.au.
It is 19-1 with Tropical Cyclone Fina moving towards the Northern Territory coastline. Optus is notifying local communities to be prepared for the potential loss of power and impact that this could have on network connectivity. So we're joined this afternoon by David Morrissey, who is the general manager, the local general manager of Optus. Thanks so much for your time this afternoon, Dave.
Thanks, Matt. Great to be here.
What do Optus customers need to know?
Yeah, look, certainly as we prepare for this event, we're certainly hoping that everybody is doing their own preparations. At Optus, we are putting in place our own activities to make sure we're able to keep our customers connected during this time. We work closely with the Territory Government Disaster Management Agencies, and we take advice from the Bureau of Meteorology and just stay across likely impact areas. We have moved a number of extra technicians into the Darwin area, and we're pre-staging things like generators to make sure that in the event that there is disruption to the power grid, and normally that's the biggest thing we need to watch out for in these events is loss of power, making sure that we've got those assets available to be able to be deployed and those additional field technician teams on the ground to deploy those assets and keep the network up and available for our customers as much as we can during this severe weather event.
This system is already impacting the Coburg Peninsula of the Northern Territory. What's your understanding on how connectivity is already holding up in places like, say, Croker Island?
Yeah, so we monitor the sites that we have available, and we at this point in time, no Optus mobile sites are impacted. We are probably watching more in those higher populated areas where we have most of our infrastructure, and particularly, in that Darwin area. That's where we focused most of our network infrastructure, and as a result, that's where the focus on the majority of our efforts will be. We have also got a mobile, basically a thing we call a SATCAT. It's a mobile base station on wheels. It's trailer mounted. It has its own power supply through a generator. It has its own backhaul into the network through a satellite. And in the event that any mobile sites are impacted, we do have this capability to be able to deploy that and essentially take the place of any infrastructure that is impacted and be able to keep customers in that immediate area connected.
What are your tips for customers as how they can best prepare to make sure they can maybe still make phone calls during and after the event?
Yeah, look, I think having been through a number of these, the things we always advise customers to do is really it's that loss of power that is the biggest impact. We would encourage people to keep your phones charged and keep them at 100% charge wherever possible. Conserve battery life by doing things like turning off apps that you're not using, charging any battery packs or backup power supplies that you've got. We encourage people to back up their data, and also if there's any emergency phone numbers or family members whose numbers you don't necessarily remember, if your phone loses power and goes flat, you won't be able to retrieve those numbers. So have those written down. And
That's
then
a
my
good one.
Favorite
yep.
hot tip. Yeah, it is. And then my favorite hot tip that I give everyone is you're using your car charger, using the USB port or on your car is a great way to recharge your phone if you've all exhausted other things. So just making sure you've got a cable that is compatible to be able to charge your mobile device off your car.
Really appreciate your time this afternoon, Dave. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Dave Morrissey, who is the local general manager for Optus. It's 12:15 and you are tuned into the Country Hour. I promise that I'll keep you up to date on what Tropical Cyclone Fina is doing. I also promise that I'll keep you up to date on how the cricket's going in Perth. And guess what? The story just keeps getting better for Australia. Mitchell Starc's on fire. He's now got 3 wickets. England captain Joe Root, gone. He's out for a duck. And England are currently 3 for 43. Mitchell Starc has got 3 wickets. Things are looking good in Perth.
This week on Landline, celebrating 80 years of the Country Hour.
Hello, everyone. This is Dick Snedden of the Country Hour with a program for the farm families of Australia.
That's Landline Sunday, 12:30 on ABC TV and iView.
Oh, yes, a very special Landline this Sunday, celebrating 80 years of the Country Hour. The actual birthday is on December the 3rd. Here at the NT Country Hour, we are preparing something very, very special, but I'll tell you more about that next week. It is 12:13. There's a lot going on, including the fact that today is National Agriculture Day. So happy National Ag Day to you. In a moment, I'll be catching up with the Chief Executive of the NT Farmers Association, Andrew Bourne. But first, to a song, and this is a bit of a special tune. So the creative team behind George the Farmer, I know we've had them on the show a few times. Hopefully you're familiar with the work of George the Farmer. He's a cartoon character. They've got lots of books out for kids. They do great songs on YouTube. Well, that team have written a song that is literally called National Ag Day. So here it is.
We all need a farm, at least 3 sons a day, but there's plenty more to farming than putting out the hay. When the sun comes up across the sunburned land, there's lots of girls and guys from farms and cities and towns. They're all doing this thing called agriculture, from planting seeds to doing science behind the scenes. So let's celebrate these hard-working legends with a day that says thanks and give them a mention. Give me an A, give me a G. On this National Ag Day, we just want to say thanks, mate. Down on the farm, having a yarn, or in the big smoke, working hard, ag is all around us. It's the need for food that keeps us connected. Ag's for you, for me, yeah, for everyone. On the land, or in the water, in the lab, so many Aussies are doing ag. It's fiber for clothes and food for the world. This is what our ag mates do all year round, yeah. So let's get together special day in November. Day, we just want to say thanks, mate. Down the farm, having a yarn, or in the big smoke, working hard, haggers all around us. Give me an A, give me a G, on this National Ag Day, we just want to say thanks, mate. Down on the farm, having a yarn, or in the big smoke, working hard, ag is all around us. Give me an A, give me a G, give me an A, give me a G on this National Ag Day. We just want to say thanks, mate.
A song written especially for today. Today is National Ag Day, and we're joined by Andrew Bourne, who's the Chief Executive of the NT Farmers Association. Happy National Ag Day to you, Andrew.
Thanks, Matt. Happy National Ag Day to all of our members and growers out there too.
NT Farmers had a wonderful event planned for today to celebrate the occasion, but sadly there's a cyclone in the region, hey?
Yeah, it's quite unfortunate. We were quite looking forward to the barbecue, but, you know, we can celebrate in spirit. And the girls have put together a lot of great stuff during the week to still celebrate the day, but unfortunately we'll have to do the barbecue another day.
How are your members feeling and preparing as this cyclone approaches?
Yeah, look, it's a little bit of a wait and see for a lot of our members. There's been some last minute picking to get all the fruit off the trees in Darwin, as you can imagine. We've got a lot of veggie growers who've got, you know, produce on a trellis, concerned about the winds coming through. But it's really the impacts post the cyclone that you worry about. You know, if we get significant rain down in the Catherine and Mataranka region, that could affect the mango growers that are still picking down there. Road closures for market access issues, power outages. So it's really, you know, sort of seeing what the scale of a cyclone is and then dealing with the consequences of that post the event.
Yeah, over the years, the closure of highways, sometimes the rail getting knocked out, that's been costly for farmers.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, shelf life issues. If you can't get your produce to market, you can't make any money. So the longer the roads are out, harder it is for trucks to get in and out, harder it is to get things on rail, the more money it tends to cost the farmer. So the less disruption we can have, the better.
Earlier in the week, we spoke to mango grower Han Shung Sia, who was flat out just pretty much strip picking the whole orchard to try and beat the rain and also beat this pending cyclone. What's your understanding of Darwin's rural area's mango industry? Is the harvest pretty much done?
Yeah, most people that I've spoken to, Matt, have been wrapping up in the last couple of weeks. So the timing is probably fortunate in that respect. There's obviously a couple of people like Han who are trying to get the last of their fruit off. But in general, most of the season here has been sort of wrapped up. Where some of the concern is down in Catherine, can bring the rain. If it gets down to that region, there's still plenty of fruit being picked down there. So hopefully the rains don't make it too far down south.
So after this event, hopefully everyone just fares very well from it. And for your association, Andrew, what's set to keep you busy between now and Christmas?
Between now and Christmas, mate, we've got our AGM next week on Thursday. So that'll be great. We're launching a new social membership concept we'll be having a chat about, Friends of NT Farmers, which will be great. So, and then there'll be plenty of work between now and the end of the year, sort of getting ourselves set up to launch that at the start of next year.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Really appreciate it. And I don't suppose you've been keeping an eye on the cricket, have you?
Mate, when you've got a local territorian making his debut, you've got to have it on the background just to make sure we keep an eye on it. We've started well, so, you know, hopefully tonight when it's we've still got our power on and we can watch another hit.
And listen via ABC Sport and the mighty Jim Maxwell in the team as well. But Mitchell Stark, 3 for 17 after 6 overs. He's on fire, the big fella.
Yeah, he's certainly going very well. He loves Perth.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
That's Andrew Bourne, Chief Executive of the NT Farmers Association. Yep, England are 3 for 50. Big story is the captain, Joe Root, out for a duck. I love that.
Yeah, g'day. How you going? My name's Jason Moon, owner of NT Tropical Passion Fruit. We're on the farm today, and you're listening to the Country Hour.
We're about 5 minutes away from the 1 o'clock news. You are tuned into the Country Hour. Matt Brown with you this afternoon. Three men have appeared in court in Alice Springs on cattle theft charges. I'm joined in the studio by Fiona Broom. What can you tell us?
Matt, I can tell you that this was largely an administrative hearing, but it was the first time that the three co-accused have appeared in court on these matters, which relate to the alleged attempted duffing of about 400 head of cattle in Central Australia back in August. So 50-year-old Clifford Tilmouth, 37-year-old Benedict Bird, and 65-year-old Colin Lindsay Watson have been charged with theft. Now, the court in Alice Springs heard that the police brief on this matter was enormous. The lawyer appearing for Mr. Bird said there were hours and hours of video statements to work through. The lawyer, Mr. Gorry, also said that both Mr. Bird and Mr. Tilmouth lived at Mulgabaw, where they would have ceremony obligations right across the summer. So with that in mind, a lengthy adjournment was requested. Police didn't oppose that request, and that matter is expected to return to court in February, Matt.
Okay, thank you for keeping us up to date. And if people head along to the ABC Rural website right now, there is an article there about a story that we covered earlier in the week. And the headline reads, NT Cattle Rustler fined almost $430,000 for stealing 116 head from neighbouring stations. So that's the case of Nicholas Katowski from Nenon Station, charged with stealing cattle from the next door neighbour, which was Consolidated Pastoral Company's Mambaloo Station. So all of the details of that case are now up on the ABC Rural website.
Do you have a cyclone plan ready? Your plan should say if you will stay or go, and where to go if you evacuate. For advice on how to prepare your plan, visit the ABC Emergency website and stay listening to your emergency broadcaster, ABC Radio.
I'll be speaking to the Weather Bureau soon. And as always, if you've got a question for the Bureau, send it through on our text line, which is 0487 991 1057. Question here from Val is, Matt, any chance of getting the estimated wind and rain for 6 o'clock tomorrow morning at Darwin Airport? Qantas is still requesting a check-in. It's a good question, Val. So, well, I'll put the weather details to the Bureau, and producer Fiona, we might just try and put a call into Qantas and just learn a bit more about what it's thinking in terms of flights out of Darwin tomorrow. Tomorrow's the big day for Darwin. So this cyclone is currently, what, 110 kilometres, still north-northeast of Croker Island, but it is headed our way. And a big shout-out to communities right across the Top End Coast this afternoon. Please do stay tuned to ABC Radio, your emergency broadcaster.
My name's Ashley from Bam Bam Springs Station.
I'm Jacqueline Dakin from Anthony Lagoon.
I'm Georgie from Catherine.
And you're listening to the Country Hour.
Matt Brown with you this afternoon. Some very big beef news has just broken over in the United States. What's happened? I'll share this information with you in just a moment. And for those keen on the cricket, England are 3 for 59. They're on day one of the first Ashes test in Perth. Mitchell Stark doing all of the damage. Ollie Pope's on 26. Brooks on 8. I'll keep you up to date throughout the afternoon. Let's go to the Weather Bureau. Ruby Cuthbertson is there this afternoon. Ruby, Tropical Cyclone Fina, what's the latest information?
Yeah, so the next issue for the Truckmart will be out at around 1:30, but I can give you a bit of an idea of what the cyclone has been doing today. So overnight last night, it did weaken down to a Category 1 system. It encountered some drier air and what we call shear. So a cyclone really likes to be stacked vertically in the atmosphere to get enough spin going, but it encountered some tilting. And as it moves south, southwest today, it is moving into a more favourable environment to stack it vertically again, which means it is expected to intensify into a Category 2 cyclone. Again, the next issue looks like it's still going for a Category 1, but by around 4 p.m., that system should develop into a Category 2 system. Some other changes that we might see to the next issue are with rainfall. So the previous issue had heavy to locally intense rainfall possible near and south of the cyclone centre during Saturday, and that was for areas of the Coburg Peninsula and the Tiwi Islands. And we're now forecasting that chance of heavy to locally intense rainfall about coastal areas between the Tiwi Islands and Warrawee from Friday afternoon and evening. So we're seeing some, yeah, fairly heavy rain bands.
Oh, yeah. I mean, tell us the story of Croker Island.
Yeah, they've had a lot of rain. The last, since yesterday, so to 9 a.m. today from 9 a.m. yesterday, they'd had 189 millimetres. And then since 9 a.m. today, they've had 30 millimetres. So a lot of that rain fell overnight. Yeah, it's very concentrated, a band of that cyclone over that area of the world at the moment. So we're expecting to continue to see heavy rainfall totals, possibly locally intense, which could be up to 200 to 300 millimetres, more near the system centre, but broadly expecting 80 to 130 millimetres in the Coburg area for the rest of the day. And in terms of that rainfall, so most of it we're expecting today over that Coburg area and eastern Tiwi, but we could see convergent bands of that cyclone form over the northern Arnhem coastal areas, which could also see 200 to 300 millimetres in around a six-hour timescale.
Wow. Yeah, just looking at the radar now, it would seem the eastern part of Melville Island is getting extremely wet. When can Darwin and the rural area expect this moisture to start hitting hard?
Yeah, so Darwin and the rural area, we're expecting the main impacts to be on Saturday. So could see some rainfall early. Saturday could be quite wet. And then more intense rainfall in the later afternoon and evening period at this stage. And the same story is for the winds. So we're expecting the peak winds for Darwin to be during Saturday evening, and that's likely to be sustained winds of around 100 kilometres per hour, gusting up to 120 kilometres per hour with some possibly higher gusts up to 150 kilometres per hour. But if you are in those northern communities, so such as the Tiwi and the Coburg Peninsula, you could see those destructive wind gusts this afternoon and in the evening of up to 155 kilometres per hour.
The cyclone forecast track map, as you said, will be updated at 1:30 this afternoon. For yep. quite a while now, it's been consistent in terms of the expectation that this cyclone will go through the Van Diemen Gulf and through the Clarence Strait between the Tiwi yep. Islands and the mainland, which I could only assume would be a good result for most people.
Yes, in a way. So
rather than a direct hit.
Yeah, yeah. It is looking like it is tracking right through that strait there. The next track does have it slightly closer to the Tiwi Islands, but it is wobbling quite a bit in between each forecast. So it's really hard to tell at this stage. We're still forecasting a Category 2 cyclone, though, to go anywhere in that warning area that you can see, but most likely between that Clarence Strait.
Question from Val. She said, Matt, any chance of getting the estimated wind and rain for 6 o'clock tomorrow morning at Darwin Airport? Before you answer that, Ruby, we have received a little bit of information from Qantas. So I've got here that Qantas is set to make a decision within the next hour regarding its operations out of Darwin. So We're expecting a bit of information about Qantas and Jetstar flights in and out of Darwin, yeah, within the next hour or so. So on ABC Radio, Jess Ong will be on next, so that information will come to hand. But in terms of the weather part of that question from Val, What does 6 o'clock in the morning tomorrow look like for Darwin, do you think?
Look, there's still a little bit of uncertainty about the timing. The earliest that we can expect gale force winds, which is 63 to 89 kilometres per hour, would be around 2:30 a.m. The forecast track map does have it coming in more around 10:30 a.m. So that's the more likely timing. But yeah, as I said, there is some uncertainty. The latest track map that will be coming out does have the system slightly further south and is moving slightly faster than the previous indicated track map. So it is subject to change. It is possible that there could be gale force winds at 6 a.m. at the airport tomorrow.
Right. There you go, Val. And as mentioned, Qantas expected to make an announcement probably the next hour or so. So stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, Ruby, there is a severe heatwave warning in place at the other end of the territory. Severe heatwave warning. Oh, well, it's for Gregory as well. Gregory, Simpson and Lassiter districts. Is there anything else we should be aware of about Cyclone Fina before you head off?
The other thing that I would note is the flood watch. So we can expect some flash flooding and river rises in the next couple of days, especially around those Coburg Peninsula areas and any northern Arnhem rivers. So just noting that flood watch is out and has been extended slightly further south to include the Adelaide River mouth, for example. So, just keeping a watch on that. In terms of other information, I think that's about it. We've got the next track map coming out soon, so just keep an eye on that and stay up to date.
Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt.
Do you have a cyclone emergency kit ready for your household? Food, water, a torch, batteries and a radio should be in there. For more tips on what to include in your kit, visit the ABC Emergency website. Your emergency broadcaster is ABC Radio.
It is 14 past one. You are tuned into the Country Hour and it's 3 for 72, England 3 for 72, on day one of the first Ashes test being played in Perth. Now, some big news has just come out of the United States. President Donald Trump has removed the 40% tariff on Brazilian beef. So last week, we heard about the 10% tariff being removed on Aussie beef. But one of our big competitors, Brazil, has now had its much larger tariff removed. Angus Verley has just spoken to Simon Quilty from Global AgriTrends about this announcement and what it means.
As of today, the US president has announced that tariffs on Brazilian beef have now been removed. So the 40% reciprocal tariff that existed today is no longer, and therefore, as of January 1, Brazil beef will have 0% tariff. And should they fill quota, that will then go back to 26.4% duty as it has in the past. So for what it's worth, as of January 1, Brazil beef, like Australian beef, will be 0%.
What does it mean for Australian beef producers?
I think this does put a dampener potentially on prices moving forward, but just the short term, Angus. So I think that we'll likely see Brazil beef fill its allocation by late January, early February. And once that's filled, I think the market then comes back and looks for Australian beef to fill the void. So it may see a short-term weakness, but overall the fundamentals remain very strong for next year for cow.
What impact had the tariff on Brazilian beef been having on markets?
Well, what we saw, you know, given that they had the extraordinary duty of 50% plus 26.4%, the flow out of Brazil had really come to a standstill or a trickle, Angus, over the last 6 months. So, you know, there was a 10% reduction only last week, but this further reduction will have a far greater impact and therefore see the flows back into America and probably at the expense of China when it comes to Brazilian beef.
What does that mean for demand out of China for Australian beef?
I think that continues to be in good shape and strong. We're helped by the fact that US beef doesn't go to China, but this then adds further to that and we're likely to see further demand for Australian beef out of China.
And in terms of Brazilian beef and beef into America, we're really talking about hamburger beef, hamburger meat?
Yes, we are. And I think this is what highlights to me some of the shortcomings of the Argentinian announcement was that the type of beef out of Argentina is very different to Brazil. And it is Brazilian lean beef that America requires, whereas the Argentinian beef is more of a higher quality from a Bos Taurus base versus a Bos Indicus. So I think for America's needs and the consumer, this actually is going to probably have a much greater impact than the Argentinian announcement 6 weeks ago.
So just returning to the Australian context, as you said earlier, you expect short-term downside, but you're still very positive about the longer term?
I believe so. And look, as we move into a rebuild, Australia does, and in particular Southern Australia, I think that the end of the day, Angus, the numbers are so tight out there in Southern Australia that I think even this will not stop the lift in cattle prices and cow prices. But in the short term, there could be a little bit of a correction here. But I think as we get into the Christmas period and post for that February, March arrival in America, I think prices start to strengthen again.
And how significantly could they strengthen?
Oh, I think that we're potentially still looking at a 20% to 25% upside into next year on cow prices over today's levels.
That's Simon Quilty from Global AgriTrends speaking to Angus Verley. So just repeating that news out of the States today, President Donald Trump has removed the 40% tariff on Brazilian beef. It is 20 past one and you are tuned into the Country Hour. We're joined this afternoon by cattle exporter Patrick Underwood, who is very busy today. Patrick, tell our audience, what have you been up to?
G'day, Matt. Hello, everyone. Oh, I just try to get some cattle out before the cyclone comes. I'm at Litchfield Station today where we've got about 6,000 cattle here in the floodplain, and we've got sort of two ships about 7 or 8 or 9 days away. So we're just sort of, there's a little window here, I think, to get these cattle out, or they might be, behind water or broken roads for a couple of weeks. So just in a bit of a hurry.
So it's not so much about moving them off the floodplain so they're safe. It's more so just making sure they're accessible when these boats arrive.
Yeah, that's right. Most floodplains have got driveways or dirt roads. And just that, you know, with a system like this cyclone, which is just has got a chance basically of cutting across the Mary River floodplains and then sort of, you know, across Darwin and then possibly back down towards the Daly River floodplain, just to get some really serious heavy rainfall, which can sort of wash a road completely out or take a culvert out or make a road sort of inaccessible. So it's just sort of, you know, ordinarily you're dodging storms, and if you get a couple of dry days, you can move. But if you get some sort of rainfall like this, it might be a decent, it could be some serious problems. So that's the plan. We trucked 1,080 out last night, and we're doing about 3,200 today. So we just loaded 10 triples.
Wow.
13 triples actually before lunch. So and then we'll do another 5 this afternoon. And then we'll probably have about 700 paddock here, which we'll put in a holding paddock and see what happens. But, we won't need them for a couple of weeks. So, yeah, good times.
There's some decent rain tied up in this system, Patrick. So Croker Island, it's had 180 millimetres this morning and then another 30 millimetres since 9 o'clock. And all of that type of rain's heading our way.
Yeah, that's the worry. You just get that crazy rain that can really wash things out. But everyone's pretty busy. It's not just us. It's other people. Anyone who was going to move cattle and flood-blown cattle in the next 10 days and sort of try to do it before the system moves in. So, yeah, flat out.
So is every cattle truck in the Northern Territory up in the top end at the moment?
It seems like it. It seems like there's a lot moving. I mean, it's in some ways it's lucky with the weather because it's a sort of cyclone system, you don't get those, like we do this every year, and often you get those storms that sort of start to build up around lunchtime and you can really ruin your day sort of stuff. Whereas yesterday, today, we can tell you can see it's raining in the north. You know there's a system somewhere, but, we're actually not getting those unpleasant storms mid-afternoon whilst you're loading cattle. So, yeah, it's pretty good conditions. It's a little bit of breeze here. It's sort of overcast, but it's not going to rain before dark, so we're going to get everything done we needed to get done today. So, but obviously we're going to put a little bit of pressure on the export yards, particularly if they end up getting a direct hit. But I know they've all got their plans. These cattle are going into some into Kamali, some into Berrima, both really good facilities. At least with Kiev cattle, mostly out of the weather. So we're confident the cattle will be well looked after and. And at least we know that we can load them on ships when we need them in 8 to 10 days' time.
And I assume there's a few thousand head of cattle that are in yards at the moment that were destined to be shipped out tomorrow, but now because of this system, we'll have to hang out in yards until perhaps Wednesday next week. The Ganado Express is, just way off the coast now, waiting for conditions to die down. So I assume that's a cost to the exporter, I assume?
Yeah, that is. And then unfortunately, what we're worried about, because it's been a bad year for demurrage and port congestion. What we could probably see there is because that'll the Darwin port for all ships and all traffic will close for a couple of days. So I can only imagine there'll be a natural build-up of traffic. I know a lot of us have got ships into Jakarta and Panjang at the moment in the next 2 or 3 days that all got to turn and come back to Darwin. So we just got to hope there's not some really serious congestion next week once the port doesn't reopen.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. I know you're really busy and I know you've been out of reception a bit. So just in case you're not across it, Patrick Underwood, England are 3 for 76 on day one of the Ashes.
That's some pretty keen cricket supporters. That's the first thing we checked. The cyclone track of them. Cricket score, but yeah, Stark got root for a duck. So
yes, that's the headline. He's gone. Yeah, great. All right then. Well, all the best with the rest of the afternoon, and stay safe.
Okay, thanks, Matt. Thank you very much.
Appreciate your time. That's cattle exporter Patrick Underwood moving thousands of cattle off Litchfield Station, which, from memory, is north of Lizzie Downs Cattle Station. It's out in that floodplain country, and that is a big job. And the trucks. What do you say? 13 triple road trains. Goodness me, that's a big job out there on the floodplains. On the text line this afternoon, Mary in Humpty Doo says, Matt, it has started raining here in Humpty Doo. Unfortunately, I can't see the old radar, and the new radar shows nothing, says Mary. Yeah, that is not good. Stay safe, everyone. I'll be back here on Monday, but stay tuned to ABC Local Radio, your emergency broadcaster, and happy National Ag Day.
Do you have a cyclone plan ready? Your plan should say if you will stay or go, and where to go if you evacuate. For advice on how to prepare your plan, visit the ABC Emergency website and stay listening to your emergency broadcaster, ABC Radio.